from the book of Psalms. Psalm 1. I'm sure it's a familiar psalm to many of us. I'll be reading in your hearing verses 1 through to verse 6 from the New King James Version of the Bible. Psalm 1, the first psalm, reading verses 1 through 6. I invite you to follow as I read in your hearing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is God's word for us today. Amen. Every time we stand, every time we leave our homes and come to his house, sometimes we think that we're organizing worship, but the Lord organizes it for us because he knows what we need. He knows the messages that we need for the week ahead, and he makes sure that he delivers every time without fail. Our message today is entitled God's Tree. It's taken from this very familiar psalm. I say very familiar, I take it for granted many of us have read it many times. I know when we were children, this is one of the psalms that we had to learn from memory, recite from memory. And we need to keep these psalms in mind as we grow from day to day. In Pathfinders, I think this is one of the psalms that the Pathfinders need to learn, and Pathfinders and Adventurers. And this is something which I believe the Lord intends for his people to do and practice every day, to learn scripture and keep it as part of their everyday living. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, please lead us now as we go through your word. May your word go through us, cleanse us, prepare us to see you face to face. May it help us to see Jesus and to see your grace and your mercy more clearly. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This psalm, it opens the book of songs. It's a psalm of promise, a psalm of hope. Some say it is the Beatitudes of the Old Testament. It is filled with blessings. And this psalm outlines the fact that the reward of the righteous is indeed prosperity. The blessings are for those who have their minds in the right place. The blessings are for those who have made the right investment in life. It is very clear from the psalm that we cannot afford to allow our minds to wander and dwell on things that are not for the well-being of the soul. That's why in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, says the Apostle Paul, think on these things. Allow your minds to dwell on these things. Because the Lord himself in Matthew 12, 34 and 35 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." A good man, out of the goodness, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. The psalm is very clear. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You see, to be blessed is to be happy. Is that a good thing? To be blessed is to be happy. It is to be content. It is to be at peace. To be blessed. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm at peace. This is true blessing. Sometimes we think that the money in the bank is the blessing, or the car on the drive is the blessing. No, the blessing, the real blessing, is the happiness that fills the soul, that contentment that we have in life, and that peace that we experience. You could even say, the psalm is saying, "Oh, happy is the man." It's an exclamation. Oh, happy is the man. In other words, notice how happy is the man who does not walk in the ways of the ungodly, or stand in the paths of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Oh, happy. How happy is that person? Oh, just look at how happy this person is. Blessed is that person. It's an exclamation. It is self-evident that the one who does not walk, does not stand or sit in the midst of wickedness is blessed. it is clear from the Hebrew that this blessing is a result of right action. And these actions were investments for which a greater reward is expected. The blessings, the happiness, the peace, the contentment are the dividends that naturally come from sound investment. It is like laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. The rewards are great. The experience of happiness and contentment come naturally. It is easy to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It is easy to stand in the ways of sinners. And it is easy to sit in the seat of the scornful. See, to walk in the counsel, we have to allow our minds to wander from the Word of God. When we allow our minds to wander from the Word of God, it is then we begin to think and work, dwell on the counsels that we've been hearing from time to time. Nobody suddenly find themselves lost. It's a gradual process. The paths of defection from God is never sudden. When people are living in sin, we go from bad to worse. And if we're not mindful, we don't even recognize the drift that is taking place. This psalm helps us to understand that there's a gradual progression that leads us from a place where we are connected with God to the place where we're indulging in wickedness. We walk, we stand, and we sit. We walk, we stand, and we sit. We walk and we hear something in our ear as we are walking by. Something that tickles our ear. Maybe someone said something that caught our fancy, but we're walking by. And then if we allow that tickling to remain, we find ourselves next time standing up and taking in more of what is being said and done around us. And eventually you find yourselves not only walking by, not only standing up and listening, but you're sitting down in the presence of wickedness. And you're partaking of what is being shared in that corridor of wickedness. The prodigal son, he walked, he stood, and he sat. I can imagine this young man, as according to the parable that Jesus told, this young man perhaps heard about the far country. Somebody mentioned to him what was happening out there away from the father's house. And perhaps it was just something that passed his ear. But then interest built up and he spent time standing up, listening more about what's happening in the far country. And eventually he found himself sitting down in the far country, indulging in all that was taking place in the far country. He walked, he stood, and then he sat down and began to indulge. The ungodly are those who forget God. They forget the Word of God. They forget the instructions of God. They're not habitual sinners yet, but they're heading in that direction. Right now, they're just ungodly. But then the Bible talks about the sinners. The sinners are those who willfully violate God's commandment. They know what God's word says, And they make up their mind that despite the fact that I know what God's word says, I will go and do what God's word says we should not do. They're described as sinners. But then, the scornful are those who become teachers of evil. Not only are they indulging in what is evil, but they encourage others to do evil as well. They teach others how to be evil. The Lord says, blessed is the one who does not do this. The one who does not allow himself to come to the place where he's encouraging others, tempting others to sin and to do evil. They begin to talk frivolously about God's word, making joke about God's word. These are the ones who are not content. They are not blessed. They are not happy because they are not allowing the word of God to be their delight. The psalm says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law. The law is the Torah. In the time of Moses, it was the time of David, it was the writings of Moses. That was the Torah. Torah is what the Jews used to give them instruction and direction. The Torah is what they allowed their minds to dwell on, because the mind is the avenue to the soul. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we allow our minds to dwell on, this is what we become. But those who are happy, those who are blessed, those who are content, their minds are dwelling on the Torah, the Word of God, the law of God. Notice the psalm says, his delight is in the law. Do you know what a delight is? A delight is a slice of ice, of apple pie. And you put it in the microwave and just let it warm for a little while. And then you take two scoops of ice cream and you put it on top of that warm apple pie. And then you watch it as that ice cream melts and just envelopes that apple pie. And you take your spoon and you cut into that mixture of apple pie and melted ice cream, and you put it into your mouth. Oh, it's a delight. It's a delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. A delight is anything that brings intense or immense happiness to you. What makes you happy? What makes you smile? What makes you want to rejoice? It's your delight. Maybe your delight is a nice walk in the park. Maybe your delight is just sitting in front of your favorite soap opera. Whatever makes you happy, this is your delight. But the psalmist says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is what he likes to spend his time doing. This is what he likes to put his mind on. He meditates on it day and night. This is how he spends his time, meditating on the law of God. He's blessed. He's happy. He's content. He's at peace because he spends his mind dwelling, his time dwelling on the goodness of God's word. Torah is direction. The Torah is instruction. Whatever shapes man's thinking shapes man's life. Whatever shapes man's thinking shapes man's life. Torah is the revelation of the will of God. And when we spend time meditating on the Word of God, we are spending time understanding the will of God for our lives. And when we understand the will of God for our lives, we are happy, we are content, and we are at peace. The psalmist says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. But notice how the psalm says that this person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but delights in the law of God and meditates upon it day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Do you notice that? He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. Now, how many of us, or is as anybody here, ever planted a tree? No? You've planted a tree? Yeah. Tell us about planting your tree, please. Yeah, he's made it very simple. He just planted. Who else has planted a tree? Come on. You planted a tree? Katrina, tell us about your tree. How you planted your tree? You dig a hole. Put nutrients in. You put your tree in. Cover it up and water it. That's more detail there, yes. Anybody else planted a tree? Nobody else has planted a tree. So you don't know what it's like to plant a tree, except three of us here. I've planted many trees. And there's a sense of pride, isn't there, that one gets from planting your tree. And as Katrina said, there's a lot of preparation that takes place to plant a tree. You don't just plant a tree anywhere. You've got to look at the right location. You've got to consider the fact that this tree is going to grow. So you put it in the right spot so when it grows, it will be safe. You've got to dig the hole big enough, don't you, to take the roots of the tree. You've got to make sure that you put nutrients in the ground. As the tree goes in, it'll have something to feed on to help it along. You've got to make sure you put the soil back over the top. You've got to make sure you water that tree. Notice the tree is planted. Have you ever seen a tree growing along the roadside that you know someone didn't plant? Someone was eating an apple maybe, and they threw the core away, and over time that tree just began to grow. I found trees in my garden that I did not plant. What do you think I did to those trees? I chopped them down. I don't want you. But the trees that I planted a plum tree in my garden. I protected that tree. My boys were young that time, kicking football around the garden, and I would tell them, watch my tree. Don't kick your football near my tree. I planted a cherry tree. And a pear tree in my garden. Those trees are precious to me. Why? I planted them. I planted them. They didn't just grow. Care was taken in making sure that tree was in the right place. Care was taken to make sure that tree was able to grow and mature. It was cultivated. Those who are the righteous, they are like a tree. A tree that has been planted. It is a deliberate act of God to put you where you are. You're a tree that has been planted. My wife and I went to the garden center and we selected the tree. We went around and saw a few trees and we said, let's take this one. You have been chosen by God and you have been planted deliberately by Him. The Bible says, by rivers of waters, you're there to be nurtured. That water is a continuous supply of nourishment for you. Salvation is something that is an act of God. Anything that He has planted, He protects. He watches over. He makes sure that no harm will come to you because you are planted by Him. Notice, when you're planted by the rivers of waters, you are there and there's a continual source of nourishment. Whenever you need grace, grace is there. Whenever you need pardon, pardon and forgiveness are there. Whenever you need communion, hey, it is there. Whenever you need a promise, it is there. Whatever your needs, you're in the right place to receive it. With a never-ending supply of water, the tree is able to bring forth fruit in its season. Now, I know what eating fruit in season is like. Do you? Have you ever tasted an apple that was bought in the shop in December? Now, December's too early. Even March, let's say March. We know in England, apples do not bear on the trees in March, do they? But you come down September, October time, that's when the apples come out, and you know that they are ready to be eaten. Mangoes do not grow in England. So wherever I go to buy a mango in England, I know that it's not a real mango. You've got to go to Jamaica, where real mangoes grow. I know they grow in other places, but it's not like the Jamaican mangoes. When you pick a mango from the tree in season and you bite it, hey, it's a delight. It is sweet. It is ripe. My grandchildren love to come around in the summer, in the autumn, and pick the blackberries that grow in our garden. And when you pick the blackberries, they know which ones to pick. They know what color to look for. And as they pick them, hey, they don't want to stop. Because they're right. They're in season. The saint of God, because they've been planted, because they've been nurtured, they bring forth their fruit in season. In season. What are the fruits? We know the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? Whenever it's time for patience, patience is there. During times of suffering, when we know that we need to just endure, hey, you're going to find that the fruit of patience is right there for you. During times of trial, when you feel as if you cannot go through, this is when that fruit of faith needs to be born. And you can pick that fruit of faith, and that fruit of faith will carry you through that difficult time. During times of prosperity, this is when that fruit of joy is seen. And that fruit of joy is experienced in season. Whenever you need it, in season, you find the fruit is there to keep you and carry you through. And when you look at the original language, it is very clear that the bearing of fruit in season is continuous action. In other words, you continue to bear fruit. You continue to bear fruit. You don't bear fruit today and decide, you know what, I'm fed up of bearing fruit. No, you're continuing to bear fruit. It's always happening. Your fruit is always there for others to see. It brings forth fruit in season. But not only that, his leaf will not wither. The rivers will never dry up. So there is never a threat of drought to blight the leaves of this tree. The beauty of the tree is in its leaves, isn't it? When you see a beautiful tree, it's beautiful because the leaves, the foliage, is just there. It gives the tree beauty. It blesses the environment. Its leaves do not wither. It's always a blessing to those around us. Spiritual leaves make beautiful people. Good leaves bring forth healthy fruit. You shall be like a tree planted by God, by the rivers of waters. You will bring forth fruit, good fruit, in season. And your leaves, your beauty will not wither. You'll be a blessing to all those around you. You will influence the environment. And when you're gone, people will notice. Delight in the Word of God brings prosperity. Just as the tree sends her roots deep into the soil, likewise the saint of God sends his root deep into the wellspring of God's grace. The more we need it, the deeper we send the roots. And as a result, saints of God, we are steadfast. We are fixed. We are anchored. As the roots go deep into the grace of God, nothing can shift us. When the winds blow and the storms come, those roots that are anchored in the Lord hold up the tree. And the tree is steadfast. A tree that has been planted in the right place for right purpose is the saint of God. The greater the trial that the saint of God goes through, the deeper the roots will go. Sometimes we wonder, why me? Why has the Lord allowed me to get so much trouble? That's because your roots are deep. And the Lord knows that you can handle it. And as he sends more, you send your roots even deeper. And whatever comes, you're able to stand and you're a witness to those around you. You're a blessing to the environment around you because of your stance, because of your ability to stand firm despite the onslaught of the devil. Outwardly, the tree seems as if it's imprisoned because it's in one place. It is bearing fruit. It is prospering in all that it does. But the Word of God says, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind blows away. When the ungodly look at the saint of God, the righteous, they look as if they're stuck in one place. They're stuck, anchored in just one place, can't move, can't go anywhere. But when you look and compare the tree to the chaff, you will see that the tree is a blessing to everybody and influences its environment. But the chaff is controlled by its environment. When the wind blows, the chaff, which is just trash, it's just dead, it has no nutrients, it's good for nothing. When the wind blows, it just blows whichever way the wind takes it. That's not freedom. That's not freedom at all. You're a blessing to nobody. But when you're in the Lord, you're a blessing to everyone around you. It may look as if you're imprisoned, but no, you're blessed. You're happy. You're content. You're at peace. The ungodly cannot stand in the judgment. Even if they want to stand, they cannot stand in the judgment because they're not at peace. They do not feel contentment within them. They are not blessed. The ungodly cannot stand in the judgment because the judgment is for the professed believers of God. If you're a believer in God, the judgment is for you. If you are the righteous, the judgment is for you. Only the righteous can stand in the judgment. Only the righteous can see God face to face. Only the righteous who have allowed their minds to dwell on the word of God day and night can stand in the judgment and say, "Yes, Lord, I see you and I want to be like you." Only the righteous have that privilege, but the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind carries away. Therefore, the ungodly cannot stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. No, no, no. But notice, I love the way the psalm ends. He says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." Have you been going through hard times and wondering, is the Lord with you? This psalm tells us the Lord knows the way of the righteous. When you're going through challenges in life, remember the Lord knows the ways of the righteous. When you feel as if someone's going to kick you in the teeth or slap you around the face, hey, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. When the Lord knows your way, he's telling you, hey, I'm with you. I know your way. When the Lord knows the way, he's saying, hey, I understand where you're going, what you're going through. I understand. I know your way. I've been there. And when you know someone has been there, doesn't it give you a sense of peace, a sense of camaraderie? The Lord is saying, I know your way. I know the way that you take. To know is to care. The Lord is saying, I care about you. I care enough about you to go through this with you. I identify with you. In Proverbs 14, he tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 4:14 says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But the way of the righteous leads to prosperity. The way of the ungodly shall perish, but the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This week, let us go forth and be God's tree, being a blessing to all those around us, prospering in all that we do. Go forth and be that tree that God Himself has planted. God Himself nurtures, and God Himself is looking for fruit from. God bless you.